Blog Talk Radio.
So we passed the print. You got any updates on what it is that we might hear? We know now that he was on some type of Percocet or some type of pain relief medication for jumping off the stage and stilettos and all that wildness and splits like James Brown. Give me an update, bro.
What I found, the internet is convoluted with all a lot of bullshit, so had to sift through it. I went back in, I think it's 2003, he had hip replacements. So when we started seeing Prince walking with the cane or being on stage with the cane, it was because it was necessary. It wasn't just a showman's piece. He was hurt. And so that's what started the Percocet, and I've been on Percocet. It's a super, super, super strong narcotic, highly addictive, and if you don't get off of it, you can get stuck to it, and it does have bad reactions to it.
So it's more than likely to
succumb to a bad reaction to it, because it can work up front, but on the back end, it may not work for you later. And then we knew he had epilepsy, so... who knows medically how that affected
him? And he was suffering from exhaustion. That is very important, and dehydration. One thing,
right.
And I listened to a sleep study this morning on National Public Radio. And one of the things the doctor said is that anytime you're deprived of sleep, okay, you don't get enough rest, that's a cumulative effect. A lot of us think that if I just do an all-nighter today, well, you know what? I'm just going to sleep all day tomorrow and it'll all come back to me. It doesn't work that way, does it, GRX?
It doesn't work that way. Your body is a machine. And so when you strip a gear in the machine can't break down. And basically, the machine just broke down after a while. We lost a great, and I can't say... like I said, when we say great and we say all these other accolades, it doesn't put it all together to what it really means to that guy or what that guy really meant to us as musicians, artists, protest, all of that. It was layers of that. So,
well, this guy to me is like Elvis, Michael Jackson, Tupac, and the Beatles all rolled into one magnificent performer of a caliber in which we have yet to understand his impact. It'll probably take us another decade to understand his impact.
Yeah, I mean, because he touched a lot of artists' lives and shifted it more than them. Like I said, he touched our lives, and I was no jet setter, so to speak, but... Me DJing, had to have his music, had to learn how to mix his music, because it just didn't flow with all other music, so you had to learn how to do that, and so, it was You helped me become a better DJ, so to speak.
You helped me become a better DJ, better person, better musician, better understander of promotions. A lot of folks here in Los Angeles, particularly the younger people, don't realize that Prince owned the club downtown, to which I went to several times, and he was there on one occasion in his private quarters or private club within the club. But it was called Glam Slam. And one of my friends was telling me the story that he had when he laid eyes on him, because he's out the club for the first time, did not know it was Prince's club, just trying to get in, long line. It's always a long line. And
it was always a long line there.
Unless you had hookup, and I always walked to the front, so you know me. But at the end of the day, and that's because I don't go to many clubs unless I know I have a reason to be there. Okay, so if I was invited, then yeah, I'm off to the front. But he said that he was in line, a long line, and I'd never been there, didn't know whose club it was. Said it just seemed like it was so many females. It was like rich for a man trying to find a woman that day. He said a limousine pulled up, and right by the entrance, and everybody just went and gasped and walked away. And he's like, what's wrong with y'all? And he said all he could see was the bottom of the limousine, and these 6-inch stilettos got out. And he was like, okay, we got more women. Somebody famous. He said, nah, Prince jumped out the limo with about 8 other females. And he said they all over there was from Germany or Rio or anywhere other than around,
around the way.
He wasn't with LL. But at the end of the day, he's like Prince got out the limo and said in a deep voice, how is everyone doing? And just walked in the club. It's like, and he was like flabbergasted. He's like, man, I laid eyes on the purple one. I said, well, bro, you did more than a lot of people in this life. I said, I've been to that club. I know all about it. It's got all kind of secret doors and stuff, too, and back rooms, side rooms, you know. It's a real, real.
Well, I went to it a couple times. Jimmy and Jim and I did a couple of sets there. Of course, when he was doing some stuff, I was with him. And it was always packed with the chicks, dude, always. It was a hot spot to be at.
Always. And it was actually well-managed.
It was really well-managed. I mean, what happened was it just got out of control because it couldn't, the influx of people was too great.
And that's always the case.
The pump would get filled right away, and then we have all these people outside the parking lot, mad, angry,
they can't get in the club.
That dude's chick. Now we have to fight this shooting, and voila, we had to close it then.
Yeah, L.A. Attitude took over. Furthermore, Prince didn't have to own the club in the first place. He didn't need the money. He was just using that as a way, because in the that was actually the late 90s, mid-late 90s, right?
Well, actually, he started it because it helped produce an album.
Yeah, that's my point. He just wanted more atmosphere and more vibe for himself. He didn't. What I'm saying is that he needed the revenue. He didn't need the headache or the revenue. He wasn't trying to be Joe Club owner. He just was, and it just brought more
money.
And actually, what it did during that time is opened up L.A. to a whole other city, because African American in urban L.A. wasn't generically flocking downtown to party. We'd go to the West Side or somewhere towards Leimert Park, traditionally. So what he actually did was first bring more vibes to it, and he brought it during the height of the hip-hop. So, and, that was one of the areas in which he struggled with regard to record sales and influence during the hip-hop era, the heavy hip-hop era.
A lot of artists struggled during that period, and then we got into what I call the rap and bullshit, where everybody sure they had to have a rapper on the background to sell or promote their music, which I thought was rap and bullshit.
Well, I almost said a name, but I tell you, Busta Rhymes did show up on a lot of them tracks.
Well, I'm just saying, he was popular at the time, but that's the way he was selling the R&B at the time. So it wasn't, like, I'm not blaming the artist, but I'm blaming how the record labels just mass-produced one great entity and then convoluted the record industry with it.
Oh, bro!
Every R&B song had a rapper to it.
I refuse to get deeper into labels and their A&R searches because I was connected to the street. But you know what they were looking for at a point in the hip-hop phase? If you didn't have a prison record, you wasn't going to get signed. So, you know, and I'm like, okay. So only people you're dealing with is hardcore thugs and criminals, most of which, if they did have a record or pending court cases, you really couldn't fuck with them because they was in and out of court. And most of them would still have their foot in track life. And so if you got both things happening at the same time, you're still pulling capers, and you're still in negotiation with the state or the feds to stay in or out of jail to limit your time, it makes it hard to produce and promote your record.
Again, they just got caught up in a system. They had to figure a way out. That's what I have to say. We're trying to new artists to bring something out.
Now,
that rap and bullshit era was rough.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Beyonce, brother.
Yeah, and I was going to transition to that. I was just trying to figure out an easy way to do it coming off of Prince. Because, again, here.
There's no easy way when you come off Prince, bro.
Well,
you just got to do it after that.
You know what, GRX? That's what I like about you because, you know, I will go to the sugarcoat. And you will just strip it down to the bare. And let's just get into it. Is Lemonade anything other than an attempt to sell records on the back of human tragedy protests and Black Lives Matter and real issues?
I believe so. I believe it's opportunistic at the time they came out. Again, if we're going to protest, we don't have to go and shake your ass in front of the camera. We don't have to make a black fist to say that black lives matter. Because I'm under the notion that all lives matter. I know black lives are being attacked, but all lives matter. And so for me and her protest matter, I'm just going to her protest to see her shake her ass.
Now let me ask you this. Because as a man, or manly men, and when we came into manly being in our early teens, late teens, early and late teens, you know, we were a bit of the chasing down womanizer type. And so at the end of the day, we was only going to the club to see the ass shake. Is Beyonce getting herself into a trap of misogynistic promotion and marketing?
I think she's been in that trap for a long time. I just believe she's been in that trap a long time. Because if you look at most of her most selling videos or her most selling albums is when she shook her ass the most.
Well, what can she do differently now to not get in a trap? Because I have seen this. I don't care how beautiful and cute you are. Remember, we all turned on Mariah Carey, too.
I think what she needs to do, if she's going to make a protest album, a protest song, she has to be more like Mariah Kendrick. And that she needs to go out there and make the music and the visual facts match what she's feeling about.
But she ain't really from the street, though, bro.
And then run down the hall and put up your finish, and then some other convoluted message on the other side,
be
mad at your husband.
Yeah, you know, this seems like a clever attempt by the hand of him, she and Jay-Z, to just sell records and to create this illusion that they got family problems, which in fact neither you and I can take on right now. Neither you, I, or any listener can take on their family problems because we have too much going on for ourselves. And it seems like on the back of Tamir Rice, on the back of Freddie Gray, I really don't have time for this right now, Beyonce. I would just like to listen to your music, but this is a turn off me and trying to pursue it because there's some real shit going down And this deters me from the strength of Black Lives Matter. This is about Black Booty Matter.
You shake it and talk it, please.
By the way, people, don't steal my idea. Please hashtag that and credit it to DJ Monk here, okay? Okay? Black Booty Lives Matter. Watch that.
We do.
That trend. It's been trending.
Oh, no, we'll be hated for that trend.
Oh, no, it's been trending for over 70 years.
Ain't that changed,
bro. Been trending. You know,
ain't that changed. We're still a big hat.
You know, every time I think of Sanford and Son, and who was he just flipped out about? Lena Horne's super fine, light-skinned, beautiful ass. And, you know, you get to a point where it's like, Beyonce, do you realize that you are just the next Lena Horne that they created? Hello?
Right.
Okay, we'll go from to the Banana Man to Harry Belafonte to DeBarge. This is how it's going to work. Okay? As soon as Michael Jackson just F's it off, well, we got ABC, DVD, We got you on this format. Okay? As soon as the Osmonds is down, we tell y'all with all that on extra. Okay? We got the next one. We got the next group. 96 degrees, 92 degrees. Okay, all the boy bands.
We got all of that. We got all of that.
And so a lot of these artists that get caught in their protests don't see that this is also capitalistic gerrymandering at its best from the standpoint of the record label. And while you do think you control some of what you control, setting up portals to sell records immediately, which is a good thing. I'm not knocking that part. She figured that out, so she's not having to be privy to what a record company says at the time of sale. However, I just think this.
I think too, she's calling in the record sales of the industry. So the industry said, this is what's right. You shaking your ass. So you've got to shake your ass to get your message across or for the next album sale.
Well,
I keep all these chicks information.
You know, don't you just said some super radicalism. So she put all of the ass shakers in formation.
She put them in formation. So she said, leave your doom. They don't leave their doom. But right now, she said, it's okay that he cheated. You can go back to him and kick me. But people, I watch my eye on.
But is it only because, well, he's a baller, lady? So what am I? How easy it is to replace a baller? Very different.
Right.
What is she really saying then? Money first.
Not much. The same formation. Stay behind your man.
Okay. So like
that bottom bitch.
Oh.
So I'm putting it in. That bottom bitch.
Sorry, people,
but that's what it is.
That's what it do though. Be that bottom bitch, and you better be it well. Okay?
And being well. If you cheated, the only reason why that man cheated wasn't because you're not fine or you wasn't doing it. You wasn't making him feel the way he needed to be feeling. So you just found that somebody else who was making him feel that way. Don't be mad.
It's still
the J-O-B.
Well,
you know, a lot of people are going to be mad at me for saying that, but it is what it is. I cheated on my first wife. And I can tell you why I cheated on my first wife. She didn't make me feel the way that I wanted to feel. Fuck it. So I had to go find somebody that was.
Wow, that's big, dude. Thanks for the revelation. Now, on me, I did.
It doesn't matter about the beauty of it.
Well, let me just, since you just went out on a branch, Jesus, let me just follow you, okay? And say, I did not cheat on my wife, my only wife, but I had strippers and hoes. So there was a bit of psychological, what we would want to say, adultery. So,
again, you went somewhere and got something you needed from somebody else, and she wasn't able to give you that.
Well, no, the record industry gave me these bitches and hoes. DRS, I'm a big player.
You know? Yeah.
Well, I invited her to the party. enjoy one of them. She enjoyed one of them. She really did. But then the problem was, you know, my wife has got that Beyonce too. And then, like, no, niggas, that bitch is my bitch. She ain't here for that. So then I had, you know, issues on. The next scene is, okay, this nigga's walking around with a 9mm. Yep, pretty much. Get up out. Party's over. All right, have a nice day. My wife's here. Hey, bottom bitch, you gotta go. Talk to you in the morning.
Right. See you on the next one, damn.
Well, we've just revealed all we're going to reveal today. In fact, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next year.
Oh, well, look, you know, we got to say, we got to do one other thing before we get out of here.
Hey, Doug.
This is John Tiller singing Billy Paul. Down,
oh, man.
So, and that's a sad day, too.
Yeah, bro, because I say it. I say it, Mrs. Jones, let us hear. Oh, man, this is pissing me off. And she was Asian and black. Jesus. This is
true. Well, you know, I'm just saying, you know, you had to put that out there before we got off the air. You know, want to, you know, put the lighter up for Billy Paul, man, because that was a hot song. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Yeah, and we had a thing going on. You know.
And the album that is on is called 360 Degrees of Billy Paul.
And, you know, most folks thought that that was wrong. But we just thought there was nothing wrong.
Right.
Hey, dude, let me tell you that, oh, my goodness, I cannot read this on the smartphone because my eyes don't see that little. But the Jungle Group, Jesus, the smartphone is smart, but it don't see like me. This writing is about the size of a gnat or an amoeba. The Jungle Book, okay, 18 million, 360
yards. It's been producing, man. Again, but it's not made for children. It's a little violent, so people beware.
The Huntsman's Winter War, 4 million.
Another fairy tale.
Yeah.
Going into the Tundra, but there is another fairy tale.
Another fairy tale. And Barbershop was still in there at 2.67 million. So, you know, it's
I'm happy for Ice Cube. I'm happy for that. But
yeah.
Yeah, we grew up like that, so there's no need for me to go see it.
Well, I can't see, you know, like I said, bro, certain urban things I can't see. But let me get into this Billboard, because finally my girl has been dethroned. Rihanna has been dethroned, and dethroned by, I knew it, Panda, designer. I knew that was moving so fast, but I had to dethrone her. Panda, designer, is at number one. 7 years, Lucas Graham, number two. One Dance, Drake featuring Wizkid and Kyla, number three. Work is at four, featuring Drake, our girl Rihanna. I Took a Pill in Ibiza, still moving up, Mike Posner. Work from Home is at Fifth Harmony, featuring Ty Dolla and Sign. Ty Dolla Sign. That's at six and moving up. No, Megan Trainor's moving down to seven. Philotoph Zane moving down to eight. Love Yourself, Justin Bieber is down to nine. I think he will be out of the top 10 by this time next week. Me, Myself, and I, G-Eazy, is still even at 10, Bebe and Rexha. So there it is, bro. And as well as I checked back, and we had misspoken, or I did, because Prince doesn't own certain albums, you can get quite a few of his tracks on iTunes, individually and album. And he has spoke on, you know, he does not own Purple Rain.
Right.
As well,
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, as well as a couple of the other fatties that we like. But at the end of the day, don't stop buying, don't stop listening, because his estate gets everything. Now, as we close, everybody wants to keep this dust up about his estate. Is this important? Because he was in a, well, let's back up. The man died at 57, no children, no wife, some type of will in place, but the only real team was his sister and those folks that he hired around him, right?
Exactly.
And
his sister did it all. That's what I understand when I was looking at an article. Basically, his sister will get the net worth of $800 million.
And that's not by, but let's say this. I don't think that by default, that's by the purple one. The purple plan.
I don't think, like this. He's such a businessman that he wasn't going to need anything to doubt. You know what I'm saying?
Now,
he knew that he wanted to be creative. He knew that where his money was supposed to go and what he wanted to do. They did.
Now,
they gave away music at his funeral. They gave away keepsakes at his funeral. And his sister is running the whole show.
Well, he didn't have a funeral because he was Jehovah's Witness. He had a memorial.
It ain't the same, bro.
And that can get a sore issue with me. You know, we just buried my grandmother, and one of her daughters is Jehovah's Witness, and we ain't seen them for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, since, or prior or since. You know, so at some point, you know, you got to acknowledge something. But, you know, we're not even getting into his religious practices, which supersede the behavior by which the sister inherits everything. But I pointed out to you that he made a track called Sister. way back. And if you listen to it, it says it all. Okay? So find that track if some of you young folks don't know nothing about this guy, but he was riding around on white horses with a gorilla curl. Although GRX he got naturally curly hair. Marty Marr would have to get a pretty gorilla curl to look that cute.
Don't start with the hair dudes again. Don't start.
What the hook gonna be, Hammer?
Don't start.
What the hook? Give me some hook music, Hamilton. Come on, Hamilton. See, I ain't gonna even hit you with a beat. I'm hit you with some melody today. Come on, Hamilton. Give me a little something. Come on.
Well, I don't know why he's so stuck on trying to get me to hit him with 16 bars.
I have
plenty of 16 bars.
I have a vision for you, player, and it's bigger. You know, if Prince can have a white horse, you can have a white unicorn. That's what I'm talking about. I can see. She can see. We can all smell it. And you know what? The white unicorn gonna be part of the lemonade you drink in formation. all right, Prince.
I want to put a shout out to one of my friends, family, young man named Triz. He got a new album out. Y'all should go out and try to find it. It's hot. It's pumping.
Well, does he have a website, Facebook? That's what we need.
I'll give it to you on the next go around. I just grabbed the CD real quick. I forgot about it, actually, because we ended up starting talking about Beyonce. But nonsense, really. Beyonce, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll put this out real quickly. One of the homies came by the house and let me know that I hadn't seen him in a minute, that he was downtown working on Too Short's new studio. And I was like, oh, man, I'm very familiar with them. I know some folks in his entourage. So at the end of the day, real hip-hop might make his way back, and real rapping ain't dead yet. All right? This is Real Talk.
This game is still Pimp Game.
Oh, it's going to be Pimp Game because what did they put in for? Before? It's like, okay, formation, right? Okay. Right. Are we that stupid?
We can be.
We used to be. But we ain't this week. We were born yesterday, but it was only after 9 o'clock. Gotta go, GRX. I'm gonna holler at you. Thanks for listening.
All right, keep the RTX out.